Want to welcome each one to this part of the service and greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. We sang at least two songs this morning that reference the tongue and what it should be involved in. I'd like to, for a devotional, turn to James chapter 3. And it's a familiar chapter. Some of us have memorized them. And it talks of this. James chapter 3. And verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned with a very small helm, whithersoever their governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I love this scripture because of the very practical things it addresses. The tongue, the small thing. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, I told our class that I wouldn't believe this story if it wasn't written in the Bible. Just the uncanny coincidence, maybe, of how a person's pride lifted him up and he was just right on the precipice of being brought down low. But the Bible says that the tongue can no man tame. Is that true? Is that really true? I wonder how many school teachers, I don't think school teachers do this nowadays, but the old school did, that if you said something you shouldn't, there was soap put in your mouth. Our teacher used to do that. And she'd give you a little water too, and you're supposed to hold this in your mouth and not spit it out. You didn't want to drink it, you didn't want to swallow it for sure, because that would burn all the way down. But I remember seeing my schoolmates, and this never happened to me. And it wasn't because I controlled my tongue all that good, but I didn't get caught. I remember the bulging cheeks and the strained eyes and the miserable look until they could get rid of that soap. Or there could be other forms of punishment. But the Bible says that the tongue is not trainable. Sometimes I have to wonder. People get into a situation where they can just not expose themselves. They can say the right things all the time. My wife's grandfather lived a double life, and he had two families for a long time, and the one family didn't know about the other family. And toward the end of his life, we went to meet him, and he always referenced Marcia as his niece instead of his granddaughter. This is a niece of his until we were alone, and he says, "Oh, you are my granddaughter. You are not my niece." Well, he didn't want to expose that to all the other people, so his tongue was guarded. He was careful to say the right things. And, you know, he tried to make amends at the end of his life. I don't know what his story is today, but he's not here. But anyhow, he is. The Bible says that the tongue can't be tamed. But I think it can be controlled with other forces. We can be careful to say the right things. We can do this. But that's not the point of this chapter. The point is saying that the heart is where it's going to start. When the heart is turned toward God, when the heart is for the right things, and then you don't have to worry about the tongue. You don't have to worry about that, what comes out. Brother Stephen Brubaker from Faith Builders is having meetings over at Oklahoma this week, and Marcia and I listened in last night on a couple of his sessions. And his verse last night was, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And he made a comparison with a lot of things, that if you get, instead of thinking that there's, well, he said, if you get the first things right, the second things will follow. But if you get the second things, you might lose everything. And so if we're focusing on just watching what we say, we could miss out, and we could actually lose our relationship with God, with people, with everything else, if we just focus on that. But if we work on the heart and on the motives, then that'll make a huge difference on what we think and what we do and what we actually are. Because what we are is out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaketh. And I believe that's true too, that it really does come. So James is very incredibly practical when he talks about the power of the tongue. And then I love this last part where he says that the wisdom that is from above, and he lists a number of things that it is. And in Proverbs we have this verse that says, "Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars." And in this verse he talks about the seven pillars of wisdom. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So, not a coincidence. That's the wisdom that's from above. Right. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And Mark Berry, such a pleasure to see you there. Will you lead us in prayer?